Psalm 32, I need to get this ready and get that ready, and then I'll be ready. When you get to Psalm 32, you just hold on there, say amen if you want to, and we're going to read the Word of God, and then I'm going to let some things fly here this morning. I appreciate everybody's prayers for me. I got a little bit more pep in my step this week than I did have last week. And just doing well, and I appreciate it, trying to get back to a full schedule. So I feel pretty good this morning. If you feel lousy, I feel bad for you. Okay? But I want to be a blessing to you. I want to be an encouragement to you. And I want to preach something this morning that is not preached a lot. And you'd be surprised at the number of churches that won't preach it and the reason why they won't preach it. I'm simple. I like to just believe what the Bible says and move on. Amen? If it says it, that's it. Doesn't need my help. Doesn't need my interpretation. God's Word is God's Word. By the way, if you're new here, you're just watching us online, we believe what this Bible says. Amen? We don't try to correct it. The Bible's supposed to correct us. That's what Paul said, isn't it? He said, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it's profitable for correction. He said, for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. So, amen. This was on my heart yesterday, and I'm just going to be honest with you. Somebody sent me an email. It made me mad. Okay? It made me mad. And I'll show you parts of it here in a little bit. All right? And if you get mad too, then amen. All right? Psalm 32, you there? Say amen. Amen. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. I want you to think about that blessing. God, and Paul used this verse too. He used this reference. The blessing of God is eternal life. It's salvation. Amen? If you don't have eternal life, if you don't have the promise and assurance that you're going to go to heaven when you die, you're not blessed. You're not happy. You shouldn't be satisfied. Amen? I want to know whether I'm going to heaven or not. So blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, in whose spirit there is no guile. Now verse 3, I want you to look at what he's saying. When I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. He's talking about being silent about your sin. You cannot, if you're a child of God, or God's given you a soft heart, you cannot keep sin holding it in. It'll hurt you. Look at verse 4. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer. Selah means think about that. Verse 5, look here. I acknowledged my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, look at the words. I will confess my transgressions unto the Catholic priest. No, it's not what he said, is it? He didn't say give it to... By the way, I found out the Mormon church, they make them do the same thing. You got to go to that bishop and tell him all your dirty little secrets. I'm going to tell you the secret. They don't. They go and tell them what they want them to hear. I found that out from Bradley Crum. He told me, he said, we have to confess our sins to our bishop. I went, what? And I looked right at him and I said, I guarantee you, you don't tell him everything, do you? And he said, no. You know how I know that? I said, because we're not designed to do that. God wants us to be able to come boldly before his throne. For mercy, somebody say amen. So you can do that, all right? I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. Selah. Think about that. Now verse 6. For this shall everyone that is godly pray unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found. Because let me tell you something. There's going to come a time when you'll want, maybe you, maybe somebody else will want to repent, and God will not be there. And that time is drawing near. Do you believe that? Say amen. The time to repent, the time for America to repent is now, before the judgment of God comes down on our nation. Amen. The time for the churches to repent is now, before the judgment of God, because Peter said that the judgment is going to begin where? The house of God first. The time to repent, church people, is today, while God gives you that time. And that's what he said. For this shall everyone that is godly pray unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found. Surely in the floods of great waters, they shall not come nigh unto him. I'll break this down. God wants you to repent. God wants you to confess. And when you do, God will provide salvation. Do you believe the Bible this morning? Say amen. You know, I could just preach that and say, let's stand, be dismissed, go home. But I have 80% less stomach to work with now, and I can go a long time without getting hungry. I can't go so long without getting thirsty, though, so hang on one second. And then we're going to have a word of prayer, and I want you to think about what's being said here. I want you to think about what God said, because I'm going to show you something up on the screen. And it made me mad when there was a man wrote me and said, you need to change your church website. You got stuff all wrong on there. I'm going to show you. And he's looking at a picture of me. I mean, but I'm going to show you what he said here in a minute, all right? Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father in heaven, I love you. And I love this book. God, this book saved my life. It saves my soul, but it saved my life. It saved everything about my life. And I thank you for it. And its words are sacred to me. And God, I approach this book in fear and trembling so that I'm careful not to wrest or twist the word. I'm careful not to corrupt it. I'm careful not, Lord, to change it or to make it say something that it doesn't just readily say. And Lord, I thank you, God, that this book has, over the years, corrected me on many things. It will continue to do so. And Lord, I want that. I want to be right with you. I want to be right in your eyes. Lord, when I speak, I want to speak truth. I do not want to lie to these people. They didn't come here, Lord, to be lied to. They're good people. They've come, Lord, they've gathered here in this place. They've gathered online on their computers. They're gathered out in Kenya because they want to hear the truth. And there's liars all around us. So God, let your word be true and let you be true and every one of us humans a liar. So God, help me to preach the truth, preach it in love. But Lord, this message is all about a warning. A warning on what to do about our sin. We have a lot of it. So God, we just ask God that you have mercy on us, that you'd give us light from heaven, that you'd help us and give us blessing this morning. And we pray this in the name of Jesus, our Lord and our Savior. And all of God's people said, amen. Now, let me show you the message that I got. I'll read it to you in case you can't see all the way up there. I got an email from a guy, and I'm going to be honest with you. I've heard this before. If you look close enough on YouTube, you'll find videos made about me, mentioning my name and how we have a false gospel here at this church. We're sending, according to them, if you come to this church, listen to me, you're going straight to hell, according to them. Okay? Now, here's their beef with us and with me, but if you're in with me, then you'll fight with me. Amen? Okay? So, here's their beef. They had this idea of salvation that you don't repent to be saved. Repentance is not for us. It's not for a lost sinner. It's not for anything like that. And this man, here's what the man said. He said, I'd like to point something out to you. The gospel you have written on your website is wrong. And he quoted it for me. He said, your website says the following. We also believe the true church of Jesus Christ consists of those who have truly repented of their sins and by faith have put their trust in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ for the remission of their sins. Raise your hand if you believe that. See how simple that is? Okay, so he did. He said, please change that. He did. He asked me, he said, now take that down now and put up the one we tell you to put up. He said, there's a guy I know that wants to watch your videos, but he won't because you don't preach the right gospel and he's not going to watch your videos. And so I wrote him back and I gave him two verses of scripture that show what I'm going to have them up here on screen here in a minute that show what I believe. And I said, you can tell your friend whatever you want to, but I'm not changing what the Bible says. Not going to do it. So we went back and forth in emails a few times. Here's what he said a little bit later on. He said, anyone who preaches a false gospel is a curse. And if you believe a false gospel, you will not enter into the kingdom of heaven. I don't know how you can have a KJV, meaning the Bible, and still believe in repenting of your sins. I don't know how you can read the Bible and not repent of your sins. He said, you're just adding to the word of God. Look at verse 6 again of Psalm 32. For this shall everyone that is godly pray unto thee in a time when God said pray it. Who in here wants to be characterized as a godly person? Say amen. Now, who in here with your hand raised knows that you don't deserve it? You want God to call you godly? confess those nasty sins. Now, I may carry this on tonight or next Sunday or whatever, but when I preach about repentance, I want you to understand there's more than just God that you need to be sorry to. How about your husband? Oh, I got something I'm going to throw up here in a minute. It ain't holy water, but it'll get you wet. Amen. How about your wife? How about your children? You ever done them wrong? I believe in repentance. I do. I believe you ought to confess. I believe you ought to repent. I believe I ought to turn my microphone on. That's what I believe. And I know it from the Word of God. But anyway, here's what he says. He says, nowhere in the Bible does it say, repent of your sins. Now, those of you who have a search Bible search thing, if you type in the phrase, repent of your sins, that exact phrase, you'll not find it. So what they did, and I know, see, I've been through all this with these people. They picked out four words that they knew were not in sequence in the King James Bible, and they said, that's why you're wrong, that's why you're a false preacher. So you know me, I got mad, and I got my Bible out, and I just went through the Bible. And that's why I'm just going to bombard you with Scripture this morning. I'm not even going to wait on you to turn in your Bible. I'm going to put them up on the screen. I'm going to read them. I'm going to buzz through them real fast. And before you get out of here, God's going to deal with you about your sin. I don't care if you're saved or lost. God's going to deal with you about your sin. Okay? You want to burn in the lake of fire for all of eternity? Just keep your mouth shut, hold your pride in, act like you've never done anything wrong. By the way, there's a verse in the Bible that nails you to the wall. It says that exact thing. What have I done? Nowhere in the Bible does it say repent of your sins. So please remove the wrong gospel message on your website. I hope you repent from this false gospel. He's telling me to repent. I hope you repent from this false gospel. I respect you a lot, but I do not respect the repent of your sins heresy. Please, if you have questions, just ask me. And if you do change it, let me know. And I finally, listen, you pray for this man. Because let me tell you something. This is bigger than you think it is. With social media and YouTube and Facebook, every kind of stuff like this gets out there and people grab onto it. And I can name for you preachers. Jack Hiles had this kind of nonsense. Steven Anderson down in Tempe, Arizona, had this kind of nonsense. He still goes around. He goes around knocking doors and he gets them to pray a prayer and he leaves. And he says, I don't care what they do after that. They're going to heaven. They're never going to lose it. Don't worry about it. That's nonsense. So what I'm going to do is I'm just going to show you. We're just going to go Scripture, 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 Scripture. I'll let God do the talking and then you decide on who's right. Amen? Remember, let God be true and every man a liar. I will never, this lifetime, be able to preach the whole truth. God won't let me have it because then that makes me as right as God and I'll never be that. But if I quote Scripture to you, you rest assured that that is the Word of God. Okay? Now this will go to saints and the sinners both. This will go to the lost. If you're listening today or you're here today and you're lost, what I mean by that is you don't know that you're going to heaven. And if you don't know, your life is full of sin. I guarantee you it's full of sin. Okay? You're going to find out what to do with that. If you're here today and you've just kind of gotten cold on God, and I guarantee you it's because of sin. I guarantee you it's because of sin. See, your pastor's not a dummy. I've lived life, and I know about it. I know how it works. And I know that when sin is present, God is not. And it's not that God is not near you. It's just that you've got your back turned. Okay? So you just listen to the Word of God this morning, and I'm going to just go through Scriptures, all right? So here we go. Matthew 9, verse 12. But when Jesus heard that, he said unto them, they that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. But go ye and learn what that meaneth. He said, I will have mercy and not sacrifice, for I am not come called the righteous, but sinners to what? Repentance. So far, I'm one for one. I think if you're a sinner, you need to repent. Jesus came and called sinners to repentance. And he specifically said that they were sinners.
That's what they need to repent of. Mark chapter 1, verse 3. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. John did baptize in the wilderness and preach the baptism of repentance for what? The remission of sin. You want your sins remitted? You want your debt cleared? Repent. Mark chapter 1, verse 15. Saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Repent of your sin. Believe the God. Believe that Jesus died on the cross. Believe that He suffered for your sin. Believe that your sins have already been washed in the blood of the Lamb. Believe that. Amen. Mark 2:17. When Jesus heard it, He said unto him, He said it again in Mark. He said, I've come to call sinners to repentance. Mark 6:12. And they went out and preached that men should what? Repent. Luke 3:3. And He came into all the country about Jordan, preaching the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. You must have your sins forgiven. Somebody say amen. Amen. Jonah chapter... Now watch this. I did what the Bible said. The Bible said that the doctrine is going to be here a little and there a little, and that you compare Scripture with Scripture, spiritual things with spiritual things. Jonah, it will never tell you in the book of Jonah that Nineveh repented of their sins. But Jesus told us that. Look at Jonah chapter 1, verse 1. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. What was God seeing in Nineveh? He wasn't seeing that they wouldn't have enough potluck dinners. He wasn't seeing that their tax rate was too high. He wasn't seeing, as one of these preachers says, that the only thing you repent of is not believing God's word. You don't repent of sins. You just repent of believing God. That is not what God said about Nineveh. He said, their wickedness has come up before me. The sin of Nineveh was going to get them destroyed. Let me tell you something. The sin of America is going to get America destroyed. Amen. The sin of Bethel Church is going to get Bethel Church destroyed. We need to repent of our sins. The sin of your pastor will destroy this pastor. Needs to repent of his sins. I'll give it to me because I need it. I need it just as bad or worse sometimes than you people sitting out there. I repent. I tell God I'm sorry. And if at times I'm not feeling sorry, God always has a way. He's never let me get by with it yet. So it says in chapter 3, God said He wanted to cry against the wickedness. And He told Jonah, after he'd come out of the whale's belly, He said, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. So here's Jesus comes along, and He says, the men of Nineveh shall rise up in the judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, for they repented at the preaching of Joseph, and behold, a greater than Jonas is here. Why did God save Nineveh? Why did God not destroy Nineveh like He said He was going to? They repented. You think God can save America? I do. Listen, we're not any worse than Sodom, Gomorrah, Nineveh, Babylon, Jerusalem. It's full of wickedness. People can repent. And God knew that Nineveh would. So He stayed His hand of judgment against them. But Nineveh was saved because they repented of their sins. Now, I don't have it in this message, the definition of repent, but here's what I'll tell you to do. If you don't have this already, go to purebiblesearch.com. Free download. A lady wrote Bible search software just for our church and ministry. Free of charge. So we give it out for free. You put it on your computer, you type in the word repent, and put a little asterisk next to it, and it'll tell the computer to search through the whole King James Bible of every place that word in like repenting and repentance shows up in the Bible. You'll find out what it means. It means to turn. Because like four or five times God said, repent and turn ye. You know what He's doing? He's defining it for you. Because I want you to listen to me now. Those of you who are honest, and I love this church for its honesty, you got to a place where you didn't want to drink anymore. You know what that is? That's repentance. That's turning. Got to a place where you didn't smoke dope anymore. Got to a place where you didn't want to whore around anymore. You got to a place where everything in your life was a mess and you knew that you did it to yourself and you said, I don't want to do this anymore. That's repentance. By the way, that Psalm 32, God is the one who bore down on you and pushed you down so hard that you said, I can't take this anymore. So a little white flag came out of your heart and said, God, I'm done. I repent. That's what it means. I've had it. And it's not you getting rid of your own sin. If you could have done that, you'd have done it already. You can't do it. But I know the God that can do it for you. Somebody say amen. All right. Luke chapter 13. There were present at that season some that told him of the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And Jesus answering said unto them, suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans because they suffered such things. I tell you nay, but except ye repent, ye shall likewise perish. And isn't that what we do? Every time something bad happens, we say, oh, I wonder if that was because how they were living their life. Listen, we all live our life like that. We're all wicked. Amen. We got wicked thoughts. We do wicked deeds. We say wicked things. We give people wicked stares. We drive past them on the highway. We are reprobate. The Bible says our hearts are deceitful and desperately wicked above all things. Who can know it? That's what the Bible says about you. That's what Joel Osteen will not tell you about yourself. You are desperately wicked. So, just because some people got blew up over here, some people got shot over here, or they got killed in a tornado, that doesn't mean that they were, that's because they were worse than everybody else. Everybody's a sinner and we all deserve it. So look at what he says here. He said, verse 3, I tell you nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Or those 18 upon whom the tower in Siloam fell and slew them, think ye that they were sinners above all men that dwelt in Jerusalem? I tell you nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. You believe it so far? Luke chapter 15, verse 7. So the question is, do I have to repent? That's the question. Do I have to repent? Or can I just go to God and say, God, I want to be a Christian now. All that stuff that I've been doing, let's just keep that out of it. That's what you're saying. Because let me tell you who God really is. God is a holy God. God is not defiled. He does not sin. He does not commit iniquity. He does not lie. He does not do unrighteousness. And God, being clean, will not be in the presence of uncleanness. The uncleanness of your life has to be dealt with somehow, some way. You've got a truckload of sins and iniquities that you have committed, and what you're saying is, God's just going to just forget about it. It's no big deal. Don't worry about it. Let me tell you something. If that's the case, then Jesus died on that cross in vain. He shed His blood for nothing if God does not have to deal with and take care of our sins. Let me tell you something. Let me apply this to your marriage now. Okay? Let me apply this to a marriage or relationship of any kind. When one person offends the other, that offense is going to stay there. And I know people like this. They go around offending everybody with their mouth and their attitude. And then they just expect that everybody should just get over it and move on. It doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. When you have offended, let's say you've offended your wife. Let's say you said something to her and you were just in a bad mood. You said something mean and hateful to her and you offended your wife. Listen, she's going to carry that until the day you die, Jack. If you want things right in your marriage, you're going to have to go to your wife and repent. Honey, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I should have never done that. I should have never said that. Honey, I love you. That's just offending her just with something you said. There are far worse things to do in a marriage. Repent. Or you'll never be what you need to be. And your children are going to see it. And you're going to raise a little hell child that's going to be twice as worse as you are. You believe the Bible this morning? Say amen. Amen. See how it works? When your children transgress against you, mom and dad, you are going to lay it on those children or that child until they do what? I used to think that I could avoid the whipping if I went to Mom first and said, Mom, I'm sorry. Mom always said, you're fixing to be. And she did. She made my sins hurt. She made them distasteful. And I wasn't as prone the next time I did it. I had a little bit hold me back, but then a little bit more and a little bit more. That's how it works. Amen? So there's, likewise, joy in heaven shall be all sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. Let me move on. Luke chapter 24, verse 36. Let me read these. It said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached. It is my responsibility to preach behind this pulpit repentance. Acts chapter 2, verse 30. So this is the beginning of the church. And when they had heard this, they were pricked in their heart, and they said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do?
Okay, we're in big trouble. We crucified Jesus. What can we do?
Peter said, repent! You know what they did? They repented.
First day of the church, on the day of Pentecost, 3,000 people got on their knees and they said, God, forgive us!
Hey, if it worked then, it'll work now. Amen? Repent, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children, he says. Acts chapter 3, verse 19. Repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. Chapter 5, verse 30. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom he slew and hung on a tree. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be Prince and Savior, for to give Israel and forgiveness of sins.
Okay, I admit that the King James Bible doesn't say, repent of your sin. But it says everything like it.
And I did. I wrote him back and I said, you know, you made up four words that you knew wouldn't be in the Bible and you ignored a large portion of the New Testament. Whew. Acts chapter 11, verse 18. When they heard these things, they held their peace and glorified God, saying, then hath God also to the Gentiles granted what? Repentance to life. Acts chapter 17, verse 29.
For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone graven by art, man's device.
And the times of this ignorance God winked at. But now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Amen. Romans chapter 2, verse 2. But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. Don't you notice I had that underlined? What are the such things that men commit that he was referring to? This is the beginning of Romans chapter 2. You go back to the end of Romans chapter 1. Let me read to you a list of things that you have committed. Fornication. Wickedness. Covetousness. Maliciousness. Full of envy. Murder. Debate. Deceit. Malignity. Whisperers, backbiters, that's gossipers. That's gossipers. That's whisperers. Haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful. By the way, you want to have your sins forgiven? Forgive everybody else's. Is that biblical? Can I say that? Forgive us of our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. That's what Jesus said. Amen. You see that list there? The Bible says in that chapter, and they which commit such things are worthy of death. So now watch. Back in Romans chapter 2, he said, we are sure that the judgment of God is according to the truth against them which commit such things. And thinkest thou this, O man, that thou that judgest them which do such things. Because you know somebody that run out on his wife. And you say, well, that's terrible. He should have never done that. Or you know somebody that had dirty stuff in their truck. Or somebody that did this. You know somebody that did that. And you said, well, they're awful. They're terrible. I'm not like that. Oh, yes, you are. Just because you don't do column A, that doesn't mean you stay away from column B. Can I hear God's people say amen? Let's get honest about it. We've got things to repent of.
He said, or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to what? Repentance. Now, here's this verse. I sent this verse to that man. He said, why do you preach that false gospel? Let me read the verse. Now I rejoice that you were made sorry, but that you sorrowed to repentance. For you were made sorry after a godly manner. It's just what I told you a while ago. I tried to con my mom into believing that I was sorry for what I had done. She knew better. She knew God put it in her not to let me get away with that nonsense. And she said, I'll make you so sorry, you'll never want to do this again. You'll wish you hadn't been born. Oh, no. And she took my belt, laid me across my bed, and I just crawled around like a little snake on my bed trying to get away from it. She tore me up. It was not child abuse. It's child abuse not to make them repent. Amen. Boy, you'd be surprised what losing 30 pounds would do for you when you preach. Amen. So I sent him this verse. For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of. I sent that to him. So you know what he sent back? I wrote it at the time. He said concerning this verse, it does not mean what you think it means. It does not mean you must feel sorry for the sins you've committed.
I'm going to read the verse, and I'm going to let God say it. For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death. Now, verse 11 is a good message. I may preach this. There's a whole message here. For behold, the self-same. Let me tell you what your repentance is going to do for you. What carefulness it wrought in clearing of yourselves. Have you not heard that? You need to clear your soul. You need to clear your conscience. Confession is good for the soul. Do you believe that? Let's get it out. Let me tell you what I did. That way, because I can't carry it anymore. God's down on me and I cannot carry the sin anymore. I got to tell you what I did. And you confess. And when you're done. Let me tell you about a man that I met in Nashville City Jail. 1987, the year Lisa and I got married. I was going to Bible college out there. And they had a ministry where they'd take us young preachers out to the city jail to learn what sin's about. And there would be one of us preach a message, and then we were sitting next to guys that were there voluntarily. They wanted out of the cell, and they wanted to come sit someplace else, so we had church service for them, and we were to sit by them. When the man got done preaching the message, I was sitting next to the black guy, and I looked at him, and I said, Did you understand what he said? Yeah. I said, let me ask you a question. I said, if you die today, you think you'd go to heaven or hell? He said, I know I'd go to hell. I said, would you like to know for a fact you can go to heaven? He said, yes. So I went through the Bible. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all. Does that work for black people too? In Nashville? Does that work for people in the city jail? Does that work for people on death row? You better believe it does. And I led him through a prayer. Now, bless God, he probably had a grandma praying somewhere, amen. But I led him, and he prayed that prayer. When I got done on it, I said, how do you feel? And he wiped his eyes. It feels like a shot of whiskey going through me. You know what? That was the only thing he knew in life to compare that to. But you know what he meant? It's just like he had just been freed. And I talked to him, told him I'd pray for him. I've prayed for him since. I don't know where he is right now. He was being held without bail. I asked him, I said, what are you in for? He said, first degree murder. I'm going to tell you, it'll clear you. You repent and it'll clear you. You'll get it off your conscience because it's eating you up. And everybody around you knows it. They just don't know what's wrong, but you do. What clearing? Where's the rest of it? What clearing of yourselves? Yeah, what fear? Yea, what vehement desire? Yea, what zeal? Yea, what revenge? You know what happens when you repent of your sins? You want to go beat the devil up for talking you into it to begin with. Yeah, this Bible's right. Don't listen to them clowns on Facebook anymore. Wait a minute, I'm one of those clowns on Facebook. Hang on.
2 Corinthians 12, verse 20. For I fear lest when I come I shall not find you such as I would, and that I shall be found unto you such as you would not, lest there be debates, envyings, wrath, strife, backbitings, whisperings, swellings, tumults, and lest when I come again my God will humble me among you, and that I shall bewail many of you which have sinned already, and have not repented of the uncleanness and fornication and lasciviousness which they have committed.
You know what I got in my mind? About 98% of all church members in America need to go to the Lord every day, every night, and say, God, I'm sorry for what's been going through my mind today. I'm sorry for that lust that's in there. I'm sorry for those thoughts that I had. I'm sorry for those little fantasies I had. I'm wicked, God, forgive my sins.
That's what Paul said. 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that what? All should come to repentance.
See, I says. Yes, who in here got saved at a later time in life? You didn't get saved when you were a kid, you got saved at a later time in life. Okay, Roy, how old were you? 49. Anybody got saved that was older than 49? All right, you're it. I should have asked him, Roy, do you know how old you are today? So, at times. Why'd you wait so long? 49 years. 49 years with a pistol in one hand and a whiskey bottle in the other. That's a long time to tempt God, isn't it? Aren't you glad that God was long-suffering and God waited until you were 59 years old to finally put the hammer down on you and say, today's the day? Roy lets me go at him like this. Roy, I love this man. And he's a role model to us here because this man spent most of his adult life inside of a whiskey bottle and a pack of cigarettes. And God brought him out of it because he couldn't do it himself. God had to break him down pretty far. And he's honest about who he still is to this day. He cannot, don't buy him a whiskey bottle for Christmas. Not even if he asks twice. He cannot do it. You ask Roy if he felt better when he confessed his sins to God and God took them from him. You ask him. Okay? All should come to repentance. Now, one, two, three, about five times in the seven letters to the churches that Jesus wrote, about five times He told them in the church, repent. He said, remember therefore from whence thou art fallen and repent, or else, look at the word or else. What happens if you don't repent? Repent or else. I will come unto you. Be quickly and remove thy candlestick out of this place. 2:16, repent or else. 2:21, I gave her space to repent. Except they repented their deeds. Revelation 3, He wants them to repent and hold fast. Verse 19 of chapter 3, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten, be zealous therefore and repent. Because if God finds you not sorry for your sin, He will rebuke you. He will chastise you. He'll take a rod after you like you do your children. And He will make you sorry for your sins. And you will repent. Now, there may be a fine line between, well, that's your teaching, work salvation. You're teaching, you got to work for the salvation. Let me tell you what repentance is. Repentance is what God does to you. Remember, you repent after a godly sorrow. God is the one who brings the sorrow down, and you don't have a choice but to repent. Somebody say amen. Now watch this. I'm done with this right here. Near the end of the book of Revelation, you know what Revelation is all about, don't you? God coming down with wrath. And he's going to say, I'm done with it. Let me take a little drink here, and I want to show you this. Here is 1, 2, 3, 4 reasons why, if I were you, I'd repent. Revelation 9:20. The rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues yet repented not of their works in their hands. Revelation 9:21. Neither repented they of their murders, nor their sorceries, nor their fornication, nor their thefts. Did you cheat on your taxes this year? That's stealing. You say, well, Obama did it first. I don't care. If you stole money from somebody, I don't care. A multi-billion dollar corporation. You owe it. I don't care if it's the federal government. You owe it. I'm going to get an email on that one. I know I am. You know what they didn't do? They repented not. Neither repented they. Repented not. Verse 16:11, and blasphemed the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores, and repented not of their deeds. Here's a whole group of people left on planet Earth that God is just bearing down on them one after a time. And you know what? All they do is curse God, blaspheme God, give God the finger, curse His name, but they won't repent. People living like that right now. Now, I've said this before. I think you ought to pray. This guy wrote me an email. I was nice to him, but I was firm. But if he's going to stand on a street corner and tell everybody that they don't have to repent, I'm going to stand on the other one and say, I wouldn't listen to him. Let me tell you what the Word of God says. That's my obligation. I got to do this stuff. You know what I got figured about church people who go around telling everybody they don't have to repent? I got it figured, Chris, that they probably don't. They probably go around offending everybody across town, their family, and half the church members. They never repent. Let me tell you about one of the men that I know that preaches this kind of nonsense. His name was Jack Haas. At one time, he had the largest Baptist church in the world in Hammond, Indiana. He was Mr. Hotshot, right-wing fundamentalist. His doctrine was, you don't repent of sins. You just repent that you didn't believe the Bible. Now you're saved, and that's it. That man had a mistress for the last 20 years of his life on this earth. He had his wife and children at home, and he had a woman on the other block that he was dead with. They confronted him in his church. He blew up, said, you're going to destroy the whole country if you bring me down, and run his accusers out, and got away with it until the day he died. His daughter goes around this country giving speeches saying, my dad was an adultering cult leader. And this man said, you don't have any sins. I believe that he never did. I don't want to be that. If I offend my wife, I want to make it right. She offends me, she knows. Make it right. My children, if I do something stupid with one of my kids, you ask my kids. I've gone to them. Honey, I'm sorry. Daddy shouldn't be that way. Kids, likewise. Husbands, apologize to your wife. Wives, apologize to your husbands. Children, make it right with mom and daddy. Church member, apologize to church members. Swallow it. Swallow it. Get over it. Get over yourself. You're not good. God is good in you. God will lead you to repentance. Amen. Yes. Stand your feet.